can find that on page 967 in the Pew Bible, reading from the New King James. Hear the inspired and inerrant Word of God. Matthew chapter 21, starting at verse 1. Now when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord has need of them,' and immediately he will send them." All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and he sat on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, "Who is this?" So the multitude said, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee." Then Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he said to them, "It is written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer,' but you have made it a den of thieves." Then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying out in the temple and saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were indignant. And they said to him, "Do you hear what these are saying?" And Jesus said to them, "Yes. Have you never read, 'Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise'?" And this ends the reading of our sermon text. You may be seated. And so, our Father, we thank you, we praise you, we give you the glory. Thank you for this word. Thank you for the so great salvation that you have given us in Christ. Thank you for the cries of the people, "Hosanna, do save now, O Lord." Thank you that you have given the way of salvation through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Give us grace now to hear and to meditate on this great salvation you have given us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. When Jesus comes, his kingdom and rule comes with him. Amen. When Jesus comes, when Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, when he comes, his kingdom and rule comes with him. And when he comes, he shakes things up, he stirs things, and he turns things upside down. Which means really that they are finally turned right side up. Amen. And so Jesus comes and returns the city of God and the house of God to their original purpose, the love, the glory, and the worship of God. Amen. And so Jesus will not leave things be. When he comes, he changes everything. Amen? When Jesus comes, he changes everything. And so the temple rightly becomes Jesus' place. The temple rightly becomes the house of God, not the house of men. The temple becomes the place where the Holy Spirit dwells, the place where the Spirit of Christ is. It becomes the body of Christ, the church. And so in this passage, we see what the church is supposed to be all about. Amen? And so what is the church? As we said, the church is the body of Christ. The church is the bride of Christ. And the church is the place where we grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we have a falsehood that we need to fight against, brothers and sisters. And that is the falsehood that I don't need the church. You ever hear that? You ever share the gospel with people and you tell them, talk to them about Jesus? Oh, I believe in Jesus. I believe he died for my sins. What church do you go to? I don't. I worship God on my own. I don't need the church. You ever hear that? How many of you have heard that? Mostly, probably all of you have heard that, because that's the spirit of this age. And it's really the spirit of the devil. It's from the pit of hell. If you need Jesus, and you do, you need his church too, because that's where you learn more about Jesus. Amen? And so today I want to talk about what the church is supposed to be. The church is the place where we hear about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? The church, first of all, is a home for the glory of God. Amen? A place of glory. And so in verse 5 of our passage, it says, "Behold, behold, your king is coming to you." That's a whole sermon right there. Because at church, we are reminded to behold, to look and look again at the great glory and goodness and love of God, especially in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We get to see the light of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Amen? And so we say, "Behold your King. Behold your king. Behold your king is coming." Isn't it an awesome thing that our king doesn't just stay in heaven? He could have. He could have stayed in the perfection, beauty, and glory of heaven, basking in the love of the Father and of the Spirit, but he didn't. He came. And he's coming to you. to you and to me. Hallelujah. Behold, your king is coming to you. And so it says, say to the daughter of Zion, tell it. Why should we be in church on Sunday? That's where your king comes to you. Amen? Do you want to miss out on that? No. No. Behold, your king is coming to you. This is a place not just of information. We do learn about God. But it's also a place of transformation. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, but we all, with unveiled face, are beholding. There's that word, behold, again. And this is the place to do it. The place where we are called to do it is the church. Now we do it, we behold at home as well, but we want to behold him together. But we all, and isn't it interesting, it says we all, so there's the inclusive, there's this first person plural, all we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed. Transformed. The word there also is used in the transfiguration. We're being transfigured, as it were, into the same image. What image? The image of Christ. We're being transformed into the same image as we behold him. Because what you behold, what you meditate on, what you worship, is what you become like. Right? You become like what you worship. And so if you worship dumb idols that can't speak, can't hear, can't touch, we become like them. Right? We can do nothing. But if we behold Jesus, we become like him. And we are enabled to do the things that he did and greater. That's what he said. That's his promise. You can read about that in John 14:12. Because he goes to the Father and he sends his Holy Spirit to live in us and to live and move and work and transform us into his image. So we behold Christ, and we are being transformed in this home for the glory of God. And in this home for the glory of God, we hear the praises that go to Jesus. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna to the Son of David. Jesus is that Messiah who comes from the house of David. Amen? And so they cried out, Hosanna, which means do save now. Did. They went. Jesus said, go, and they went. And they did as Jesus commanded them. Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And so the home for the Word of God is where we learn those commands and we do them because we love Jesus who first loved us. Amen? And all is done that the Word would be fulfilled. Verse 4, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. Do you know that God is all about fulfilling his word, fulfilling his law within us? And that law is fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to his Spirit that he's given us. Amen? Awesome things. A place, a home for the Word of God. And Jesus teaches according to the Scriptures in the temple area. Mark 11:18, it says there that Jesus taught. Jesus taught and said, "My house is a house of prayer for all nations." And so Jesus quotes from the Scriptures. And then in Luke 19:48-49, it says that Jesus taught daily in the temple. Jesus taught daily in the temple. This was when they were plotting to destroy Jesus. They were plotting to put him to death, but even so, he taught daily in the temple, and the people were very attentive. Are you paying attention? Are you paying attention? Amen. We need to pay attention to the Word of God, to the teaching of Jesus. Think of the early disciples. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to breaking of bread, and to the prayers. Which leads to the next point. Church is to be a home for praise and prayer. Amen? And so the people say, "Hosanna in the highest. Save now, Lord, and praise to you in the highest." And so church is a place where hosannas are at home. Amen? Hosannas are at home here. Church is a place where it's to be a house of prayer, a home for prayer, not for merchandise, not for greed. And so the question is, are we rendering unto God what belongs to God? God calls us to worship. God calls us to praise. God calls us to pray. This is to be a house of prayer. Now, he doesn't say it's to be a house of preaching, although preaching and teaching happen there. He says it's supposed to be a house of prayer for all nations. Now, it's interesting that where Jesus cast out the money changers and the sellers of doves, he cast them out of the court of the Gentiles. The court of the Gentiles was a part of the temple that was set apart for the nations, that when they heard of the glory of God in redeeming a people for himself, that they would be able to come and worship God and pray to God. And so that's part of God's house, which is supposed to be a house of prayer for all nations. But the people of God at the time were rather ingrown in their understanding of things. They were only concerned about themselves, and they were concerned about making a profit, not a prophet, not a God's word speaker, but they wanted money. They didn't love God. They were lovers of money, and so they wanted to turn a profit in the house of God, and so they set up their own currency. You know, you could only buy these sacrifices with our money. So they had money changers, and they would make a little profit in that monetary exchange, and then you could only buy their sacrifices. And so people were stuck. And so they were making a lot of money. And this really bothered Jesus. Can you imagine how many years he would have seen this and not done anything? And he didn't until he began his ministry. And he cleansed the temple twice. He did it at the beginning of his ministry and he did it again. And we see that the second cleansing here. Excuse me. And so Jesus returns the temple to its original purpose, a house of prayer, God's house, a house of prayer for all nations. And so God's plan for the church is that it also would be a house of prayer and a house of prayer for all nations, and that people would be gathered from every tribe, every nation, and every tongue, and that the glory of the nations will be brought into the house of God. Amen? Amen? And so for the church, it's a matter of first priority that prayer be made. Why do I say that? Well, the apostle says that in the pastoral epistles in 1 Timothy chapter 2. And this is one of the first things he says of a practical nature in 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy 2:1, first of all, or as a matter of first priority, I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men, for kings and all who are in authority, in order that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Why aren't men and women being converted? And why is not our society in a tranquil and quiet way? Why are we having all these shootings in schools and churches and other places where people gather? Why do we have high crime rates in our inner cities? And why do we have white collar crime as well? It's because we haven't prayed as we ought to pray. At least that's what it looks like from this passage. And so this is top priority. I, first of all, urge that entreaties and prayers and petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men, not just for us, not just for our families, but for all men. For kings, for presidents, for the Congress, for the courts and the judges and mayors. And for the fourth branch of government, which is the media. Pray for them too. They're not really the fourth branch, but they style themselves as that. But we need to pray. We need to pray because God is in control. But God calls us to use the means that he has ordained. And that means is prayer. And so he says in verse 8, therefore I want the men in every place to pray, lifting up holy hands without wrath and dissension. Now, the interesting thing there, it says lifting up holy hands. The same word in the Greek is used in the Septuagint in translating where Moses' hands were lifted up and held up by Aaron and Hur. Remember Moses lifting up his hands as Joshua went into battle? And so he was holding up the rod of God. And as long as he held that rod up, the people of God prevailed against the Amalekites. But when he started to get tired, then the Amalekites started to win the day. And so they had to keep his arms up. We need to lift up holy hands in prayer, and we will win the battle through prayer. That's what the word says. I'm not making this up. I'm not the only one who's ever thought of this. This is from God's word. This is not a new strange teaching that I've cooked up. This is from the Bible. And many teachers have come to these same conclusions. And so we desperately need to be devoted to prayer. And the church is to be that home of praise and that home of prayer. And we don't really understand the power of praise and the power of prayer. But doesn't the word say, I will call on the name of the Lord, who is worthy, worthy to be praised, and so shall I be saved, saved from my enemies. And so God uses prayer and praise to save us from our enemies. That's what the word says. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Amen. Have you seen it? Have you seen it in action? Do we have a witness? Yes. Amen. Amen. Praise him, and then he acts. Yes. Amen? Amen? A home for praise, a home for prayer, and a home for the cries and shouts of children. Children's cries and praises are welcome and fostered here. Right? What does Jesus say? So beautiful. He says, yes. Yes, I hear it. Have you never read, out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise? Isn't that beautiful? God uses the praises of infants for strength, for his glory. It's pleasing to God when infants and babes praise the Lord. Amen? Amen. And we want to talk about the last thing. And there's more to what the church ought to be, but we want to limit ourselves to this passage. The church is to be a home for the message of salvation. The church is to be a home for the message of Jesus. Because Jesus, even the name Jesus, means salvation. You shall call him Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. Amen? And so in verse 5, tell the daughter of Zion, which is shorthand in the Bible for proclaim the good news. Tell the daughter of Zion, let her know that her king is coming to her. Behold, your king is coming to you, and he comes to you with justice, with righteousness, and salvation. Zechariah 9:9. So this is the place where you're going to hear the good news. Amen? And then, this is the place where you're going to hear those cries of Hosanna. Hosanna to the Son of David. Save now, O Messiah, Son of David. Now the people who cried that, many of them wanted a temporary salvation from the Romans. And that's the danger to us. We could want a temporary political fix for the situation that we're in. But you know what? A temporary fix is temporary. We need an eternal fix because our problem is eternal. We have greater enemies than the Republicans or the Democrats or the Russians or the Chinese or the Saudis. We have greater enemies. Those are nothing. We have the problem of sin, Satan, and death. And Jesus has delivered us from them all. Amen. At the cross of Christ, we have an eternal salvation. Amen. Jesus brought eternal salvation from stronger enemies, namely Satan, sin, and death. And so we are right to cry, Hosanna to the Son of David, Hosanna in the highest. He has saved us through the blood of the cross. And not only that, he's been raised from the dead for our justification. Amen? And so we see that Jesus healed the blind and the lame. The message of forgiveness and healing come here in the church. We live in a broken world that wants to get along without God. And so what happens? What happens when we try to live our public life and our private life without God? What happens? What happens is all hell breaks loose. Amen? You see the sin of man against man. And there's sin and misery in the world. And there's a lot of blindness and lameness. And we need to be saved from sin. We need to be forgiven. We need to be made whole in Christ. Now, sometimes God heals the body now, but sometimes he waits. And the complete healing and restoration of our bodies and this world is yet to come. It's going to come when Jesus returns. He says, Behold, I make all things new. Amen. And if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away and have died and have been buried, you could say. And behold, there's another behold. Behold, new things have come. And so we need Jesus. Our society needs Jesus. When you see all these things happening, it's because they've tried to live life without Jesus. How's that working for them? How's that working for you, living without Jesus? Doesn't work very well, does it? Not at all. And so come to Jesus and hear the cries of Hosanna. Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king. Your king is coming to you. Receive him. Believe him. Trust him as your Lord and Savior. Amen? Amen. Infants and babies praise God and his salvation. They say, Hosanna to the Son of David. And there's an application there for we who are parents, we who are grandparents, we who are godparents, we who are aunts and uncles. Okay. Any parents out there? Any grandparents out there? Any aunts and uncles out there? Make sure your children know the scriptures from infancy. Not from childhood, as it's translated. It's actually infancy. The word is brephos. Yeah, it could even be translated fetus. Make sure your children hear about Jesus. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Timothy was very blessed because he had a believing mother and a believing grandmother. Amen? He was very blessed. And so Paul encouraged him and said this, and that from childhood you have known, or that from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Now, that didn't happen by accident. It wasn't because Timothy was a genius from the womb, and he thought, you know, I should really study the Scriptures. It didn't come to him naturally. It came through his mother, his believing mother. It came through his believing grandmother, the Bible tells us. And so from infancy, he knew the Scriptures. Well, how did he know them? They taught him. And so parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, teach your children. Teach your children. Make sure they know the Scriptures from infancy, in utero even. That's for Brother Danny and Christine. And that's for my daughter Isabella. She's expecting again. In utero. Because the Word of God is able to make them wise unto salvation through the faith that is in Christ Jesus. Let the little children come, and do not forbid them, for to such is the kingdom of heaven. Amen? Amen. And so make sure your children are in church. Let me say that again. Make sure your children are in church, where they can see the glory of God, where they can hear the Word of God, where they can be perfected in prayer and praise, and where they hear the message of Jesus that will make them wise unto salvation. People used to understand this and bring their children to church, but they have lost it because they don't think they need to be in church either. And so children need Jesus and children need the church. Now, we see to our children's and our grandchildren's physical needs, but not so much to their spiritual anymore. Why is that? What happened? What happened? We've believed the world that we'll just take care of their education. But what about their spiritual education? What about their Christian education? What's up with that? Have we believed the lie of the world that if they just get educated, if they just go to college, they'll be fine? And where are they now? Are they still worshiping? Or have they left the church? Lord, have mercy. Children need Jesus. Children need church. Is there any wonder why our children are growing up to be godless? They're growing up without the church, without hope in the world. And so they pick up guns. Students have picked up guns and killed their fellow students, because they've learned to live in a world without God, even though they need God. They need hope. They need faith. They need love. They need the good news. They need Jesus. They need to be here with us. Where are they? Where are they? Bring them. Pray for them. and bring them. Because we all need hope. We all need faith. We all need love. We all need Jesus. We all need the church, the place where we will hear and give thanks for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you. Thank you for planning and predestinating a salvation through a great Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for sending him into the world. God demonstrates his own love toward us in this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so thank you for this demonstration of your love. You did not leave us in a place where we would perish. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only, his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so we pray, Lord, that you would give grace to us to believe the gospel, to trust Jesus as Lord, as Savior. We can't save ourselves. Only Jesus can. Only he is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, even our sin. And so we pray, Lord, that you would give grace to anyone, any soul here who has not yet trusted Christ alone for salvation. Don't let us say, yeah, I trust Christ, but I also did this, or I also think this way, and that makes me righteous. No. The only righteousness we can claim is the righteousness of Christ, because that's the only payment you receive to take away our sin. And so give us grace to believe that when Jesus said, it is finished, paid in full, that he paid the penalty that we deserved. And Lord, we pray that you would make this church and the churches that call on the name of Jesus, the churches that believe in the Father, in the Son, and the Holy Spirit, that they also would be places where people would hear of the glory of God, where they would hear the Word of God, where they would be engaged in praise and prayer, as you've called us, and where we would hear the message of salvation through Christ alone. Thank you for these blessings. And thank you for this church home that you have raised up for your honor and for your glory. Fill us, strengthen us, encourage us, and send us out and multiply these stations, these places, where people can hear of Jesus and be saved and be transformed into his beautiful image. For we thank you, for we praise you, and give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.